Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
And I just want to read through some of the contestants who did not finish in the medals. Mia Meatballs of Danvers, Massachusetts. Yeah. Crazy Legs Conti of New York City. And Alex Moose Perez of Texas.
Fantastic.
Hyphenated Moose Perez.
I think that's his actual middle name.
What is the prize?
Oysters. More of them. A bucket.
He doesn't
a big bucket.
Say.
Glory.
I think just bragging rights, you know, in a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Tickets to the Bruce Show.
You're able to scream, Broadway. I am Spartacus.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty then. We are live at Chatter. We are open for breakfast. We've got some people here. We're expecting a larger crowd later. Tomorrow, by the way, tomorrow's the last show for this week. We're not going to be on Friday.
That's right.
The Caps are tomorrow night, right? Caps are tomorrow night.
Yes.
There's a viewing and watch party here.
And Gary will be there.
Gary's going to Vegas.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
But there's... You can come to Chatter and spend money and make us rich. Michael holding up an all caps.
It's all caps rally towel.
We also have a Belmont party on Saturday, and champagne will flow if the Caps win. That's all I'm doing to promote the restaurant. We have more time to do this. Gary Braun is here. Reese Waters is here. This makes me very happy. Reese Waters is the star of the early morning. Channel
Get Up DC.
Okay.
Get Up DC.
All shows, even national shows, are local shows. Because you live where you live and you watch what you watch. And we're going to talk about this. This is Channel 9's early show built, I don't know if it's built completely around you, but you certainly are prominent in
Should be.
Reese is local. And Reese did really funny, good stuff at ESPN for a while. So we're happy to have him here. Although the although is this. And I learned this. Well, let me just say, Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel is here. Our intern, Marcus, who's never
Marcus
going
Aurelius.
To talk. Marcus is here. When I was writing in the style section when you were a kid, and I was writing in the style section of the Washington Post, and I was charged to be funny, I was always afraid of being introduced as humor columnist Tony Korn, because I was afraid.
Too much pressure?
Yeah, they would say, okay, make me laugh, monkey boy. Mm-hmm. You know, and you've done that. You've gone out there. You've said, I'm funny. I'm the funny one.
Well, it wasn't always me. Sometimes it was other people saying, okay, now here, things are going to get crazy. Here comes Reese.
Yeah. You know?
And I would have this debate before I would go on SportsCenter and stuff, and they'd say, we want you to dress down. You know, we want you to wear kind of hoodies and t-shirts and that kind of thing.
Be an adult.
Well, that just announced that this is going to be completely left and have completely different expectations for this. I'm like, sometimes the funniest stuff comes when you're expecting it to be regular. That's when you can get really highbrow with some of the stuff that you do. And if you expect highbrow, that's when you can go low. You know what I mean? Like, you really have the full arsenal when you're coming in the vein that they just had. You know?
But when you're introduced...
was an actual comedian.
Yeah.
Though.
Yeah. I mean, but when you're introduced, and television is a cold medium.
Yes.
You know, you don't know what they're doing. You don't know what we're doing when we're watching it. You know, it's fine to interact with people on the set, but you don't know how it's going over. And when you're introduced as be funny, I think that's hard.
I think that's hard.
That's not a comedy club. There's a different deal.
Well, there's no live laughter. That's the other thing, too, is trying to do monologues into a vacuum, and you just have to pretend that people laugh. Hey, that's one of the things I like. Lewis Black used to do monologues on The Daily Show, and he would do these rants. And that's kind of what you have to do when you don't have that call and response. You got to make it a rant.
Feedback,
you
got to
really
yeah.
make it attitudinal.
So when I'm on the set at PTI, in the rare moments that I say something that people laugh at, it is incredibly gratifying to hear the crew laugh at what you've just done. And then I'd look at Wilbon and go, yeah, see, I got that. I still got it. But what you do that, we'll get into this later.
Yeah.
But that the expectations, the pressure, that's hard.
Well, the curse of when they actually laugh is that you know that they can laugh. So when they're not laughing, you just know it wasn't funny.
I bombed. You go, whoa, I bombed. What happened? All right, let's get started with Max Scherzer, the greatest living human being. Max Scherzer pitches last night. He's my favorite DC athlete. Just look at what he did the other night. He put on the helmet for the Caps. He had a stick. He put on a helmet. He went crazy because he's completely crazy. And then he goes out the next night and pitches with, I think it was described in the Post today, and if it wasn't, I'll just say I'm describing it this way, with ruthless efficiency. The guy goes out there, 88. Now, a lot of times, Max is fooling around and getting a 3-2. Not like Gio Gonzalez, who drives you crazy. But Max is getting a 3-2 because he's looking for perfection. Last night he said, I'm going to throw strikes. I don't think Tampa's very good. I'm going to throw strikes. And 88% of his pitches were strikes.
81.9.
Is that what it was? Okay,
B-minus so, average.
But I think what the stat you're referring to is 28 batters faced, 25 first pitch strikes.
I wasn't referring to that, but thank you for that. Yeah. I didn't even know that. Yeah. In one inning, in the sixth inning, he went 3-3-3. He had 9 pitches, the least amount you can have with 3 strikeouts, struck out all the people. This is the second time in his career he's done this. Here are the people who have done this 2 times or more. Lefty Grove, Sandy Koufax, Nolan Ryan, Randy Johnson. What do they have in common? They're in the Hall of Fame, which is where Max Scherzer is going to be.
Absolutely.
Because he's on his way to another Cy Young, which will be his 3rd as a Nat, 4th overall. He's going to get that. He's 10-1 right now. He's got a 1.95 ERA.
Ridiculous.
His strikeout lead in the National League is like 100. It's so much. He's so much better than everybody else in that league. He got dinged in the 8th inning. He gave up 3 hits so that our friend Matt had a chance to wave a couple
Send
of guys
home.
In. And then he got the next 2 outs.
Out.
Then Doolittle goes in there, 7 pitches, gets out. You know, this was... And he was given a 2-0 lead early and a 4-0 lead early, so he had a cushion, and that rarely happens for Scherzer. And I called Michael. I said, "You gotta watch Scherzer." It was now.
Well,
that's too late. You're asleep, Reese.
Oh no, I started a thing where I wake up at 7 or 8 at night, and I stay awake until noon.
When do you sleep? You go to sleep right after work?
I sleep from like noon to 7 because it's an old sports thing because I didn't just end up with you guys just like randomly. I'm a huge sports fan, so I'm not going to miss the finals. I'm not going to miss the Stanley Cup, so I'm like, I got to be awake for that. And I still do stand-up.
So you're on... Basically, here you're on Vietnam time.
This is my evening.
So you don't have.
You're eating dinner when people are eating.
I'm going to leave here and go have a cigar on my roof to sleep.
So the guy, the great writer who wrote the Vietnam book, Neil Sheehan. Neil Sheehan. Neil Sheehan. No, not related to Kevin. Spent his life in the United States, continuing to be on Vietnam time.
Like Wilbon out west.
That's right. So it's very. So you're.
That's pretty much what
so
I'm
is there
doing
not, here. Not but, to digress, but there's not an energy issue. So you're getting to work at the end of your day.
Well, see, what I like about that is I've been up for a while.
Right.
Like I'm warm. It's not like I'm just waking up and like the connections are still starting to percolate. Like I'm good. You know what I mean? I can talk about stuff that happened earlier today and it was what happened last night, but it's still fresh.
But when do you fall out? When are you tired? Noon?
Yeah, probably about noon, 1 o'clock. And around the time that people ask me for stuff, because it's the middle of their day, is when I'm exhausted. So did I get an email yesterday at 1 o'clock, like, hey, can you send me some blah, blah, blah? And I just pretended that happens every day.
So I was at
apologies
Chatter.
To whoever that was that sent me that email.
So I was at Chatter last night, and I was here, and then I went home, and I watched most, I watched the entire Nats game, but I watched most of it at home. I was here, and again, I'm starting out with this thing that everything is local, and with apologies to Reese, because I want his show to do very well. It's on Channel 9. It's on the CBS affiliate. But I'm a 4 guy. I mean, I've been a 4 guy my whole life. Channel 4 was in here last night. They had a party. They were saying goodbye to somebody who was leaving, and I met, for the first time, I met Doug Kammerer. Okay, now he's the main weather guy.
That's right.
And Doug is for you.
He was dressed up the other day like a fanboy in a Capitals jersey. And I said, What are you doing? He goes, oh, I'm the weather guy. I can do this. I guess there's it's like Bobby Bowden's situational justice. If you're the weather guy, nobody says, well, wait, you're on the news. No. So he was a pretty big guy, pretty solid guy, yeah. Doug Kammerer. Solid guy. Met Un Yang. I'd never met Un Yang. And she was charming, and she was, and I, you know, because she knows I watch, because I was destroying Chuck Bell to camera. I was saying, he gets so lathered up.
Bell was not here?
No, Bell not here. Yeah. And camera says, well, so do I. I go, yeah, but you're not on in the morning. You know, and it's so irksome to me. Now I'm talking to Un Yang, and I bring this up as to when you go to bed, because she's on when you're on. Mm-hmm. She's got to be on set at 4. Do you have to be on set at 4?
No, 5:55.
That's great for you then. I said, when do you get up? She said, 2. Mm-hmm. So she goes to bed at 8. Mm-hmm. You know, no late. She was here. That was a very late night for her last night. I got to see Joe Krebs, who I hadn't seen in a long time.
Oh, sure.
And he looked great. And I got to see Chris Gordon. Now, Chris used to work.
He was a 9 guy. N9. And 7. He's been in them all.
Chris and I, 30 years ago, when our children were small, we were friends. We belonged to the same swimming pool. Michael, you probably have no recollection of that. And I lost touch with him, but I always thought Chris was really good. And I'm happy to see he's doing well. He looked great and all of that. My only regret last night, Riga. Riga wasn't here. I'd have put her behind the bar.
Oh, absolutely.
As soon as she walked in the door, I would have said, ladies and gentlemen, celebrity bartender, Wendy Riga. So I was sort of hoping for Wendy Riga.
Sheena Parveen, was she here?
No. And okay. I think I'd have noticed.
You might have.
I think I'd have noticed.
Melissa Mollet, Gaithersburg High Zone?
No, she wasn't. All right. So when you are noticed now more than ever. Mm-hmm. Right? Well, like when you
I went down to the Caps thing the other night. He's all over the place looking at me from bus stops and bus backs.
They promoted the show so much that if I wasn't on it, I probably wouldn't watch it. I would have gotten to the point where I'm like, well, now I'm not going to watch it.
This can't be any good.
It.
It's
now,
everywhere.
Now I refuse.
I mean, that's got to be something for you, though.
It is pretty cool.
You're local.
There's a McDonald's.
You're a Washington kid.
Yeah, there's a McDonald's down on right on the corner of 14th and U that I can no longer visit. I literally can know that is ground central for my recognition right there. Is the McDonald's on 14th and U?
So
cross it off,
right? You would have gotten this if you stayed at ESPN. I can't go into a sports bar.
Yeah,
I can't. Oh, I don't want to.
I bet.
But I can't because it's just going to be like, what is he doing here? Let's ask him 1,000 questions. Let's ask him what uniform number will he 24. Thanks. Get
How about
out of
this?
Here.
Where's Wilbon? You ever get that
one? Oh, yeah. You know. And they walk up to you. Pardon the interruption. And it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. But so you can't go.
I just want to say you're the first person to try and engage me in sports all day. Thank you very much.
That's a fresh take.
Yeah.
But you could also walk into that McDonald's and never pay.
That is, well,
your money wouldn't be good at that McDonald's.
I hope not. I hope they're listening. I mean, that's another thing, too. I'm so happy to finally be here because for the last 2 weeks, everybody's been telling me, you got to go to Kornheiser's.
Well, we keep
saying. You got to go to Kornheiser's. I'm like, hey, I'm on my way to work. I don't care what you're going. You got to go there. Go there right now.
Because this is a local show.
Yes.
And the recognition of what a local show is assumes this. Wherever you live, you may very well not watch your national news, but you do watch your local news. You watch the local weather. You watch the local sports. You watch the local anchors. You know what the traffic is. You know when you're riding down Wisconsin Avenue and somebody driving a Lyft or a Uber makes a U-turn. You know you want to smash into the side of his car because that's not what's supposed to happen. So wherever you live, all of your local stuff is the same as our local stuff. The only difference is the zip code. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, local, if you're not doing a local show, what are you doing? Even if it's all national, your roots are local, and I assume you feel the same way, that your life is local.
Yeah, well, one of the things we try to do with the show is try and create some digital stuff that can work nationally. You know, like I have that final thought that I do, like today's without the Miss America thing. And
that's
like
a national thing. Yeah.
So we can put that up and, you know, obviously there's no geographical limitations online. But the rest of the show, the openings, you know, the references, all that stuff is all local. And it's all stuff that feels, it feels home. Like it feels comfortable for me to be doing that because I grew up here. This was the only place I think I could have come and done this show.
Well, when you go do a show in another place, like when people come to here and they mispronounce names, you know, of the geographical names,
yeah.
And you go, whoa, what's going on here? No, that's not how that, like when the other day when you said, is it Ronkonkoma?
Oh, right.
It's Lake Ronkonkoma on Long Island.
Ronkonkoma.
You have to know that. Like, you have to know it's Aquia. Like, you have to know that. I screwed up the other day. It's Ellicott City, even though it's spelled
Ellicott.
I got it wrong.
And also, just so I can check, so I don't get this wrong in the future, it's pronounced Potomac, right?
Potomac.
The Potomac River?
Potomac. Let's get out of here. We will, Abby Lowell will join us. We have lots of legal questions to ask Abby, and I have to skirt the issue at some point that he represents Chad. not, because I got to stay away from that when we get back. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a completely new ad.
Yes.
I have not seen this copy. This is the Quip ad, and I'm not sure. I sit here right now not knowing what Quip is. So we're all going to learn together, kids. The truth is most of us are brushing our teeth wrong, not for long enough, and forget to change our brush on time. That's because most brands focus on selling flashy gimmicks rather than better brushing, but not Quip. So what makes Quip so different? For starters, Quip is... Oh, okay. Quip is an electric toothbrush.
Took you a while to figure that out.
I did. I wondered why we were going on brushing our teeth.
Thought they were
going
to come to your house and do it for you?
Quip is an electric toothbrush that's a... Most people do at this point in my life. That's a fraction of the cost of bulkier brushes while still packing just the right amount of vibrations to help clean your teeth. Quip's built-in timer helps you clean for the dentist recommended 2 minutes. With guiding pulses that remind you when to switch sides. Next, Quip subscription plans are for your health, not just convenience. They deliver new brush heads on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5, including the free shipping worldwide. I have an electric toothbrush. I have not changed the brush in 7 years. I'm sure, I'm sure it's not doing well.
It's now just plastic on enamel.
Quip also comes with a mount that suctions right to your mirror and unsticks to use as a cover for hygienic travel wherever you take your teeth, even if you have to put them in a bag. Everyone loves Quip. They were on Oprah's O list and one of Time's best inventions, and is the first subscription electric toothbrush accepted by the American Dental Association. Plus, they're backed by a network of over 20,000 dentists and hygienists, and hundreds of thousands of happy brushers use Quip every day. Quip starts at just $25, and if you go to getquip.com/TonyK right now, you'll get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free at GetQuip, GetQuip.com/TonyK. Again, GetQuip.com/TonyK. And I think they should send me one.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This comes from Michael Cardinal in Montreal, Quebec, who writes, "Good morning, Mr. Tony. I'm a French-speaking little from Montreal, and here's a first for your podcast. A French swing song from our eight-piece band, L.A. Cour Supreme." That's
La Cour.
La Cour. Right. Well, okay, La Cour Supreme, the Supreme Court in French, I guess. It has exactly the kind of quirky humor. It's great. H-U-M-O-U-R. It's great. That your audience loves, right. But unfortunately, it's in French. In short, it's the story of a man who meets a lovely lady named Penelope, but finds out later in the night that Penelope's real name is actually Roger.
Yeah,
kind of a crying
Lola
game
situation.
Story, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
L-O-L-A, Lola. Anyway, love the podcast for several years. Love the team, and the best to you all. That's great. And he plays in Abbey Lowell, the smartest man in Washington. And there are legal stories that I need to ask, all the while skirting the issue that Abby is representing Jared Kushner, which we cannot talk about because we just can't. So let me start with the Supreme, and Abby always says, "Don't worry, I won't let you get me in trouble." And I go, "Yes, but it's my job to try to get you in
You're
trouble."
Not smart
well,
enough.
Yeah, but it just depends on whether you're better at trying to get me in trouble or I'm better at avoiding it, and I'm willing to play that game.
I think you're going to be better, so I'm going to try to stay away from it as much as I can.
I want to start by saying that I don't understand how my Lawyers, Guns, and Money has now turned into a French jazz song, but yeah. That's all right. We can move on from there, I suppose.
Natural evolution.
So the most recent Supreme Court decision to me that was very consequential was the baker who
yes.
was allowed not to bake the cake for the gay couple. And this went all the way to the Supreme Court. And this was not close. This was 7-2. This was a big one. Can you explain it to me, bearing in mind that it's I don't have an objection as much as I have a question. If the law of the land is that gay marriage is perfectly permissible, how do you do this? How do you say, well, because of you, I'm not going to bake this cake?
So I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about what the Supreme Court did, but the key to people to understand it is the actual vote of 7-2. People should be scratching their head and said, wait, all those people that we believe to be strong advocates for equal rights
yeah.
were in the majority. Okay, so to understand what the court did, you have to understand that they didn't really rule on whether it's okay to discriminate against same-sex marriages and not baking their cakes. What they ruled on was the fact that the Civil Rights Commission of the state, of the Colorado state, process started flawed from the beginning when they indicated by what they said and how they framed the issue that they weren't prepared to give religious rights the same weight as other rights, such as the right to association, the right to be in a marriage of your choice. Basically, they said this was a civil rights that was very wrongs because they started the process with a bias against giving religious rights equal consideration. They basically sent it back and said, do a better job. And there's lots of language, especially of those who are the justices people consider to be liberal, that indicated that on the merits, this might not come out the same way. And in fact, there's another court case having to do with a flower arrangement where see where that ends up. So people should not to say, as even those who are advocates for same-sex marriage who were on the air in the last 2 days, this is not really a decision on the merits that it's okay to discriminate. It has more to do with the process and what the Colorado Civil Rights Commission did.
Okay, so that reminds me of history lessons where sometimes the court, in order to get relief from certain things, would just say, why don't you take another shot at this and give us a new law? Is that what happened here?
A little bit, yes. It's not like give me another law. It's I can't get to a position on the merits if what we have is a record which shows that you didn't do your job. So do your job, and then we'll talk about it as well.
Fantastic. It's the Bill Belichick decision. Do your job.
Right. And if you look at the dissents of Justices Ginsburg and Sotomayor, mm-hmm. I mean, they address the issue that we understand that what these other folks did sounds bad in terms of them doing their job correctly, but we'll go past it to get to the merits. And that's not what the Supreme Court usually does. If the Supreme Court has a procedural vehicle to make sure that they don't get to the merits of a substantive issue in a premature way, they almost always take that way. So people who are looking at the headline that says Supreme Court says it's okay to discriminate against gay marriages on issues like that are really misreading the opinion.
Okay, because I would think that the overarching question here, at least I hope it is because I thought about this, is that we are a secular country. While we have freedom of religion, we also have freedom from religion. We're not like European countries that have a particular church that's ordained and everybody has to pay attention. And so if there's a conflict, Abby, theoretically, if there's a conflict between a religious right and a secular right, which one prevails? How does that work?
So what has to happen is, like, if you go back all the way, this is a process that started back in the 1960s during the beginnings of civil rights legislation that required states to accommodate and treat people of all races equally and not have separate but equal, et cetera. And the Supreme Court had to issue a number of rulings, first of all, which found a reason for the federal government to assert the right. And they did that by, among other things, if there was any products that went interstate commerce at the restaurants, et cetera, to say that gave the federal right, and then to basically stake out that it's not a balancing test once a right is established by the court or by the Constitution. So what I guess I'm trying to suggest is if you read the lines in between the court's decision, mm-hmm. it feels to me that when they get to the merits of this, depending on what a state's laws and commission does, they will decide that you cannot discriminate
right.
on one of the protected areas. Because you could see, Tony, that a baker, a florist, a catering hall, or anybody, of course not chatter, would be able to say, I have a religious view not to, and then serve you, figure it out, right? People
right.
in gay marriages, or people from Mexico, or people...
It seems that you're one small step from hate crimes that would be allowed by the Supreme Court.
And really, that's what the court, if you read it carefully, even the opinion writer, you know, Justice Kennedy, the people were sort of scratching their head. He's usually the swing vote on asserting the equality of things like gay rights. When he wrote that what he saw in the opinion was that the process had skewed against balancing all the rights so that, as you say, the right decision can be made. It's a problematic decision in its headline, and I think a lot of people who read it carefully recognize it may not be as problematic to the underlying issue that went to the Supreme Court.
It was presented to us, the general public, as, okay, you're allowed to do this. You don't have to bake the cake. You don't have to make the floral arrangement. You don't have to. That's how it was presented.
seemed to me.
You know, look at the comments of the Human Rights Campaign, the organization that promotes equality among the LGBT community, or the ACLU, and the Lambda Legal. And you'll see that they understand the decision and said, look, we don't like that they skipped over the part of the process and didn't get to the merits, but we understand. And the court's opinion, even the majority opinion, basically did assert the support for equality. And one of the things that's interesting if you're a court watcher is that people want to know why the other so-called liberals on the court joined in the majority. In other words, why is it only Kagan, Sotomayor, and Ginsburg? Why did Kagan and Breyer? And that's really interesting. That's the most interesting part of this, because what it means is they're being very strategic. The more liberal judges join the majority to make the majority's opinion be a little bit better for when the issue can be raised the next time on the merits,
okay,
as opposed to being two more votes on a dissent, which wouldn't have gotten them anyway. By joining the majority, those justices had a role in what the majority opinion said. And if you look at the majority opinion, it has a lot of language supporting equal rights.
Okay, let's move off this and get to Harvey Weinstein. What is Harvey Weinstein charged with? How did this come about?
Three counts under state law of New York with various sexual offenses. And in all states, the degree of those offenses depend on really two different factors. One factor is the degree of coercion, whether it is, as we all remembered on one extreme, somebody who was completely consensual but was underage, which mm-hmm. in the old days was called statutory rape, to whether somebody is, you know, forced to do something at the end of a gun or a knife. And that's one of the elements that determines whether it's third degree, second degree, or first degree. And the second is the degree of consent as to whether or not somebody can give consent. And that's where we've, you know, seen on other college campuses and others, whether somebody is intoxicated in something yes. and is therefore unable. And the person charged in the latter category has to, among other things, know that the person is incapable of providing consent. So the degree of consent and the degree of coercion separates third and second and first. He's charged with one degree of first, I think, one degree of third, and then another crime when it doesn't include one form of sexual encounter, but another form. And that's what they're all felonies. They're all serious. They all have lots of jail time, but there are nuanced differences in the proof beyond reasonable doubt the state has to put forward.
Are we likely to see that's a New York charge? Are we likely to see similar charges in California?
That will depend. Some of the states have statutes of limitations laws that will have expired based on some of the allegations. Some have statutes of limitations that have been changed to be forever, mostly in American history of the law. The only crime that had been without a real statute of limitations had been murder, but now sexual assaults are being changed in legislatures. So it depends on what state and what the law on the statute is, and we'll see. And, of course, there's also been allegations that there is a federal investigation. People have scratched their head about that one. I think that's one looking to see whether he and others were trying to obstruct by getting to the witnesses and trying to have them say that it didn't happen and things like that. So that remains to be seen.
Do we think culturally this is a result of Bill Cosby? Is Bill Cosby the first person from whom all of these sorts of charges flow at this point?
Would you think? It's hard to think of the timeline, but obviously the movement among women to put forward their positions of what has happened both in and out of the workplace, I think, began just before Bill Cosby, but he might have been the first one that got such wide attention. People might then say that that triggered what is the Me Too movement and others. So this is a continuum. It is not long. It's not like 10 years. It's not 5 years. I guess we'd say that this is about a 3-year phenomenon, right?
At the moment, but I think it's going to stretch out.
Oh, no, sure.
I think this is actually a profound change.
Well, it is, but it is and it isn't, okay? I mean, it is in the sense that the workplace has become more transparent and more sensitive. But it seems like there's always been, and it should have been, a possibility that when people are involved not in office misconduct of some consensual or flirtatious nature, but actual assaults and actual things like we're hearing among various allegations out there, I think that was always pursued, except maybe it wasn't pursued against people of the high nature of a Bill Cosby or a Harvey Weinstein in the past. Maybe that's the difference.
Right, I'm gonna get you out of here on this if you can answer this, but this could be a conflict for you, but I don't know.
We'll try. All right, good. Let's see.
Can a president pardon himself?
You know, I wish there was a yes or no answer to that plus other issues. The problem with when you talk about the president's power when things like pardon on that issue or whether he can be indicted as a sitting president and other such issues that are in the press is that there's no precedent. We have lots of legal scholars going back and forth, but right. In the years of the United States, no president has done it, and it's never been tested in court. So you have a lot of bright people that say, of course he can, and a lot of bright people say he can't. And what we don't know is that there's never been an umpire calling that ball or that strike. You see how I got a sports analogy?
Very good, Abby. That was very good.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Abby.
All right. I'll talk to you soon.
Abby Lowell, the smartest man in Washington. I wasn't even going to try and trap him because he's so much smarter than I am. I would end up stupid, and you know that's not good for me. So we'll take a break. We will get out of here. We will come back with news. We have lots of news today. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Casper ad. You've heard me talk about Casper for some time now, and that's because Casper makes its expertly designed products to help you get your best rest at affordable prices. You spend one-third of your life sleeping. You should be comfortable. The original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams for quality sleep surface with the right amounts of both sink and bounce. The breathable design helps you sleep cool and regulate your body temperature throughout the night. And I bring this up because I watch my dog. That Casper, I know Casper's selling mattresses, but they also make a dog mattress. And Chessie the dog loves the Casper mattress that she has. She doesn't sleep on it the whole time. She'll go to the bathroom and sleep on the tile. But when she comes back and goes into the Casper mattress.
We have a new endorser as well. Baby boy Bootsy
likes now
sleeps the dog bed.
Yes, dog crawls into it and Ryan. Curls up, and
fantastic.
The wine tyrant goes crazy because it is
it's filthy.
It is. It's the dog has lived in it. Casper isn't only a mattress company; they also offer a wide array of other products like pillows and sheets to ensure an overall better sleep experience. Not only are you getting the best sleep experience, but Casper's overall purchasing experience is hassle-free. They deliver right to your door in a small. How do they do that? Size box. Plus free shipping and returns in the U.S. and Canada. And for listeners to this high-quality podcast, Casper is offering $50 towards select mattresses by visiting Casper, CASPER.com/Tony, and using the promo code Tony at checkout. The only way to get $50 towards select mattresses is by going to Casper.com/Tony and using promo code Tony at checkout. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us by Cody Workala in Portland, Oregon, who says, I'm once again sending you music from my band Cedars and Crows. Our debut album, Pretty as Smoke, just came out and is available on iTunes, Spotify, and all other streaming services. This Friday, we're playing our album release show at the Doug Fir Lounge. That's, I'm sure, in Portland, Oregon, right?
Yes, I would think.
Thank you so much for your continued support, La Cheesery Old Sport. The music that we get sent to us is fabulous. It's just great.
It really is.
We play it in its entirety at the end of the podcast. And if you want to send us your original music, Michael, how do you do so?
Please email us your music by sending it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
And are we selling anything today?
We are. So Rob Kolpian from the TK Show Shop is getting ready for the summer release of the Wine Tyrant bottle openers and wine savers. We still have the Bootsy One code. And please remember that if you have a Father's Day photo, you and your son, you and your father, maybe your husband and your kid, wearing some Johnny O, share that on social, and you might be eligible to win Johnny O prize pack monogrammed.
Reese taking notes on these things.
Got to hashtag it, right?
Jingles.
Yeah. Give it. Throw it a La Cheesery.
Yeah. Reese taking notes on these things when he gets to be a big mogul.
You had me at the Bootsy code.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's really Bootsy good. Won.
All right. You got some news, Nigel?
I do indeed, Mr. Tony. The NBA Finals will resume tonight as the series moves to Cleveland, and Cleveland trying to get the first win of the series. They've been down before to Golden State, but this year it feels a little bit different. It would seem if they don't win tonight, it would be very difficult for them to come back.
The Cleveland Cavaliers... with LeBron James, it's one of the reasons why LeBron James should not be doubted when he says this, that he has no particular level of concern because he's been down 0-2 a number of times and he has won a number of times, most recently against Boston.
Yes.
Now, I agree with you. I think that all things being equal, this is not close, that Golden State is significantly better than Cleveland.
Can
to me, it's not how many.
Can I suggest that the series is just a J.R. Smith That's right. brain fart from away from being
right.
even.
Absolutely.
That's right.
So I think the reason he has no particular level of concern is because nobody expects him to win.
Right.
That's
if
right.
people were expecting him to win, oh, he'd absolutely be concerned. But in this case, if they get swept, nobody's pointing the finger at
LeBron. That's a great
James.
Point. I mean, LeBron, the story of this playoffs
so it's for, LeBron
has yeah. already been written. It's, oh, my God, how did he get those guys to the final?
Right.
With no expectation to do anything once there. I expect Cavs to win tonight.
Do you too, Reese?
Ooh.
I don't.
Ooh.
I expect it to be close. I expect the other team to win.
I don't think so. And you know why? I think that Kevin Durant is going to take it upon himself because he was killed after game one.
Your PG County show, Reese.
It is, right? Yeah. C. Pleasant. You can hear the C. Pleasant yeah. coming out. He was killed in game one. Game two, he was very efficient. He was very efficient, but he didn't go off.
This is true.
I think Kevin Durant says, you know what? This is supposed to be LeBron James's kind of party for Cleveland in this year's finals. I can ruin this in the biggest stage.
That'd be a heck of a statement.
I think Kevin Durant goes off tonight.
So I think that the Warriors win as well, but then I think Cleveland wins four because the Warriors will not care. The Warriors will know that eventually they are going to win this. And they may as well win it at home. But I think that Cleveland loses tonight, though LeBron, you know, I don't bet against him.
Right.
I don't bet against LeBron.
I do think there's a chance that J.R. Smith shows up to the Coliseum in Oakland, mistaking where the series actually is.
Yeah. By the way.
Good one.
Thank you.
This stays with him forever.
I'm going to cross that off the list.
This stays with him. This one does.
By the way, whoever wins this series...
He got a tattoo to commemorate it, from what I understand.
Nobody, doesn't appear as if anybody will want to visit the White House.
No.
LeBron James said that in a press conference yesterday. He said, I know no matter who wins this series, no one wants an invite anyway. It won't be Cleveland or Golden State going. And Steph Curry agreed with him when he was asked about it.
There are a lot of quotes here. LeBron James has, over the years, more and more... taken public positions on issues not necessarily related to basketball. And unlike a lot of other athletes, is rarely questioned, never slammed. It always seems that people think of LeBron James as worthy and, more importantly, thoughtful. Most people don't look at athletes as thoughtful, and I think LeBron is viewed that way. He says, as long as Trump, is in office, then the communication and things like that are going to continue to happen. It's a lot of things that we believe in Americans as Americans that we don't feel he's for. There are a lot of people that believe he's not for people or doing things that's right by people. I think more importantly, as Americans, and especially people in Philadelphia, we shouldn't let the news take away. This is talking about the disinvitation of the Eagles. Take away from that unbelievable team did and accomplished what all those players did to sacrifice throughout each and every Sunday. Going out and playing the style of football that they played and winning the Super Bowl the way they won it. Let's not let that accomplishment of things that you will have for the rest of your life, and people will always call you a champion for the rest of your life. Let's not let someone uninviting you to their house take away from that moment. Because I think winning a championship, winning a Super Bowl, or winning a Stanley Cup, or winning a World Series, or winning an NBA championship or national championship is way bigger than getting invited to the White House, especially with Trump in there, in my opinion. Now, LeBron James is certainly entitled to his opinion. Wilbon and I talked about this yesterday. Everybody on every sports station talked about this. Reese, I assume you talked about this as well. And my overwhelming feeling about it, and this is said as someone who has been really fortunate, I've gone to the White House with a bunch of different presidents. I've been invited to a variety of things, sports related and not sports related.
And yet have continued to troll for invitations.
Which I do. Because every time I go, my spirit soars. I just love being there, and I think it's sad. I think it's sad that it has been, you know, we're watching this invitation. There's no constitutional guarantee for sports teams to go to this thing, but we're watching this thing just devolve.
Pablo said yesterday on his show, we're watching the tradition of the White House invite die in real time.
I think that's true. You must
not necessarily. I think
with a different president.
With a different president, yeah, where this thing isn't politicized, because a lot of things have been politicized with this president.
But this thing was. I said this yesterday. All the other presidents who were politicians,
it's always been politicized.
Depoliticized this.
Not
But there's always been athletes on both sides.
There's been an occasional here or there.
That's fine.
There's been an occasional,
but not
here
the
or
mass
there.
Exodus.
I think once you have a guy in there who's in the vein of every president that we've had prior to this one, I think
he'll come back.
Yeah, I think it will cease to have all the weight that it has on it this year. I think where I struggle with it is I'm sitting here as a born Redskins fan, been a Redskins fan all my life. Of all 32 teams, the Redskins have been one of the few, along with the Patriots, that have been the most fervently backing of the president's stance with regards to the anthem. And then I look at the Eagles, who are one of my rivals, who are winning this culture war with absolute woke savagery. Yeah. And I look at him like, you ever have a friend that has this beautiful wife or girlfriend, and every time he comes in, you have to just be like, really, man? Really? Right in front of my face, you're going to do that? That's how I'm looking at the Eagles right now. I'm like, I'm supposed to hate you right now, but I fully support what they're doing.
The Eagles were so smart in their response. Yes. They ignored it. They didn't deal with it. And we were asked yesterday, what should the NFL do? The NFL should not respond to this. The NFL's pressing need is for owners and players to get together and do what the NBA has done.
Well, the NFL...
Don't talk about Donald Trump.
The PA issued a statement, which I thought was actually a little unfortunate, where they said, you know, unfortunately, as a result of this, the Eagles had a lot of community service stuff they were coming down and doing. All that stuff had to be canceled. When the statement, in my opinion, should have been, well, you know, this was on the schedule. We're going to come down. We're going to support the community anyways. And you know what I mean? I didn't think they had to punt on that stuff.
The NFLPA got trashed today in a pretty good op-ed piece in the Washington Post by Deborah Epstein. Yeah, I mean, got trashed.
Well, the fact that the whole city, the mayor, came out and backed the Eagles, I think they were a perfect representative because they didn't kneel. So you have that.
Yeah.
It was just, from their perspective, perfect.
Yeah, it's good. What else?
The Mystics Lynx game tomorrow down at the Capital One Arena.
This is brilliant.
Tickets to that game will be free, and you can stay there afterwards.
Here's the deal. The WNBA probably draws 4,000 or 5,000 people. That's probably what they draw. This game may draw a little bit more because I think the Lynx are a very good team. I think they've been champions recently. I could be wrong. I probably am wrong. But everybody in the city wants to go down to the arena to watch the Capitals on the giant screen because that game is in Las Vegas. Now, how do you get in? How do you assure yourself you get in? Well, you go down and watch this basketball game and you stay there. You build a tent.
Yes.
You never leave. You make it Krzyzewskiville. You never leave. The Mystics get to hang another one of those dopey attendance banners because they're going to have the largest crowd in the history of the WNBA. And that's the way you get there, so that you can get in. Now, it's going to be a beautiful night. Again, there's going to be 20,000 people in the area. And this is, as Scott Van Pelt said today, this is a refutation of his close friend Michael Wilbon, who says it's a bad sports town. Because this is showing that it's a really good sports town. So you got to get there early, and you're not allowed to leave.
Just bring a 60.
And all your concessions are full price. Now, if you let people in for free and you charge full price on concessions, I'm 100%.
For 10 hours.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
That's fair to me. That's fair.
The door's open for that.
We're selling concessions here.
Yeah, well, it's a for-profit business.
And you can walk in for free here.
But here, you don't need to bring a 64-ounce Gatorade bottle for bathroom breaks, lest you lose your seat.
Now, the question is, do you wear a Capitals jersey or a Mystics jersey?
One under the other.
Yeah, reversible jersey that you could use?
The lower bowl.
I didn't know there were Mystic jerseys for sale.
I would defer to that.
If you're in posterity for life in a Mystics jersey during the Capitol celebration.
I would defer to you and Reese on this, but the lower bowl for that Mystics game will be full. There'll be 10,000 to 12,000 minimum.
Well, the whole place
I don't know that people will be going that early to go upstairs.
Will be taken because people are afraid if they don't get there early, they're shut out.
And you know what else they did? For the dozens of people who had already purchased tickets to this Mystics game?
Reimbursed.
Yes.
Yeah, reimbursed. Like, you can't buy a ticket. So it's just wide open. It's
killing StubHub.
And it's
smart. Killing it.
Yeah. It's smart.
It's smart by Leonson.
I totally resent the bad sports town thing because with the dearth of success that we've had, if we still have fans at all, we're a great sports town as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I mean, Wilbon takes this position And Sands lit him up the other day.
On the
Nobody
text.
Goes
not
to
publicly.
White Sox.
Careful, but, careful, because when we were threatened to out Sands, right. He got very sensitive.
I'll just take it myself. I'm just tired of Chicago in my life all the time.
Really?
I'm tired of Chicago, which you can tell if you watch the show. I just enough with Javi Baez and Arrieta stories. Arrieta's not even on the Cubs anymore. I hate him.
You know, hey, they're two greats. Obama and Jordan had to come to D.C. to reach their full potential.
Good.
How about that?
And
Wilbur.
Not
Wilbur.
True.
Yeah.
How about that? Maybe Obama. I'm not
How
so
about
sure
that?
About Jordan.
What else? Some sad news from the world of fashion, Mr. Tony. Kate Spade,
very sad.
At the age of 55, committed suicide yesterday.
Very, very sad because, and I know very little about men's fashion and even less about women's fashion, but it does seem that a generation of women who are probably now as old as close to 40, saw in Kate Spade's simple and colorful designs something not just fashionable, but lifestyle as well. Her stuff sold very, very well. And according to her sister, who sent a long email to the Kansas City Star, that you saw this coming, that Kate Spade had mental issues for a long period of time. And she, the sister, even said in hindsight, she felt that when Kate Spade became obsessed with Robin Williams, that she could have heard the planning in her sister's voice. So she was not surprised. It's a terrible thing.
I would commend Roman Givens has a piece on that in the Post today, which is a very lovely piece. To a story in Canada, a portion of Canada, I believe it's in Vancouver, called Nanaimo. And if you're a children there, you might want to caution them, and actually you might want to caution Bootsy about this as well.
They didn't find a human foot in a creek again, did they?
No.
This always happens.
This is a mother, Crystal Pavan, posted a message on Facebook saying, "Attention parents, watch out for those cute fuzzy orange and black caterpillars," because she said early that morning she was hanging out with a 3-year-old son, Logan.
Who ate one. They always eat them.
Her 8-month-old daughter, Kenzie, on the back deck. Her daughter was eating an arrowroot cookie and had just finished when she started screaming. As I'm trying to figure out what is wrong with her, she had her mouth open while crying, and I noticed the inside of her mouth had some blackness to it. I figured she'd gotten a bug in her mouth, and I grabbed the cloth to wipe it off, but it wouldn't come off. Turns out she'd eaten one of these big fuzzy caterpillars. They had to take her to the hospital, and they've now removed 98% of the caterpillar pieces.
Caterpillarectomy.
Yes, because the tentacles had fused to her cheek.
Ugh.
So, kids, yes, enjoy your breakfast.
Well, this is great. Bootsy's never going outside again.
Yes.
Well, this is the big furry ones. The kids always grip.
They look delicious.
Yeah. They just don't eat them.
Don't eat them, kids.
Luckily, yes. Walker's into mulch right now.
Just eating dirt.
It's much better.
Like most kids.
Yes.
All right, are we good?
We are.
All right, so we will come back with Old Guy Radio, and we will talk to Reese about his new job on Get Up DC, which we have very high hopes.
Yes.
Even though I'm a 4 guy, we have very high hopes. And I would point out that Reese is wearing a Henry Aaron thing today.
There we go.
44.
A thing.
All right, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Omaha Steaks ad, Father's Day soon, in a couple of Sundays.
Already?
This is what, if you're looking for a gift for your dad, if your dad likes to grill, or if you like to grill and you want to get closer with your dad, this is what you do. You buy him the Omaha Steaks package. It's a perfect gift. It's the best way to kick off the grilling season. The Omaha Steaks, I've had this. This is very good. And you're getting it at a tremendous amount off. It's like 78% off. Here's what you get from Omaha Steaks, and the food is good. You get hand-trimmed, flash-frozen, vacuum-sealed meats directly to your door in an Omaha Steaks cooler. You get pork and poultry and veal and lamb and bison and seafoods and vegetables, all of the highest quality cuts with a one-of-a-kind flavor. All the beef is USDA inspected for quality, aged 21 days to unlock the full flavor and tenderness of the cuts. They even give you the option to customize the cuts for your dad's grilling needs. And they'll send you recipes and wine pairings and stuff like that. Right now, Omaha Steaks is giving a limited time offer to my listeners of this fabulous podcast for Father's Day. This is 78% off. It's an amazing deal. You go to omahasteaks.com, you type Tony K in the search bar, and you can get this Father's Day package from Omaha Steaks, which includes all this stuff. 2 filet mignons, 2 top sirloins, 4 chicken fried steaks, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 all-beef Omaha Steak burgers, 4 gourmet jumbo franks, 12 ounces of all beef meatballs, a pound of steakhouse fries, 4 caramel apple tartlets, a seasoning packet, and you get 4 more grill-ready Omaha Steaks burgers free with the purchase. Again, get this limited-time package for only $49.99 when you go to omahasteaks.com, type Tony K in the search bar, and add Father's Day package to your cart. Don't wait. The offer ends soon, obviously, because Father's Day's in a couple of Sundays. Go to omahasteaks.com, type Tony K in the search bar, grab your dad, fire up the grill.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Old Guy Radio for the day is Gary U.S. Bonds. Why are we doing this?
Because
we like Gary U.S. Bonds.
We do not Gary
friend
U.S. Bonds.
Friend of Ron Jaworski.
Yes, it's right. He's friends with Jaws.
Jaws' friend. Yeah.
Because Gary U.S. Bonds is 79 years old today.
This, fantastic.
This song hit number one.
It's a quarter to three.
Quarter to three, that's right. In June 26, 1961. Hit number one.
I remember it well.
Stay there for a couple of weeks.
Yeah. I remember Gary U.S. Bonds very well.
Yes.
I met him once. Jaws had some sort of dinner, and he was performing.
Nice fella?
Very nice fella. You know, very nice. What can I say? You know, I mean, so we didn't have a lot in common, to be honest.
Right.
But, I mean, we had a
was
nice...
Was he a big... A I mean, job. I know this was a number one hit, and yeah. I know he had several hits. And Bruce Springsteen really loved him. Bruce used
loves
to play
him.
This
loves
all
him.
The time at his shows.
Loves him.
Was he a big star back in the day, or no?
Well, for about 2 or 3 years, he was a very big star. But then what happened was the Beatles came around.
Right, and nobody changed.
Nobody who was a big star again. I mean, it just everything changed overnight with that. Reese Waters is here. His show is called Get Up DC. It is not to be confused with the ESPN show Get Up. For one reason is it starts earlier in the morning, and two, it doesn't last 3 hours, and it doesn't get repeated 83 times during the day. So how did you get involved in this, and what has it been like? It's been on for just a few months.
Yeah, we started in January 10th, and it was really fortuitous there you go. I appreciate it. So, essentially, after ESPN, there was a lot of opportunities that came to me that were sports related, and I didn't want to go there. I wanted to kind of continue to branch out and continue to do some of the other things, because one of the unique things about me ending up at ESPN is I didn't start in sports.
That's right.
I just started as a stand-up. You know, if you look at me, you know I never made it past JV, you know, if you've ever seen me before. So I just started out as a stand-up comedian, but just because I was a sports fan, I always said sports is the reason why I never reached my full potential as a comedian, because instead of writing jokes, I'd sit there and watch games that I had no actual rooting interest in, but just because I like sports. So... this was presented to me as an opportunity to completely get out of sports. And it was at home. There was a personal pull to it as well, because my father unfortunately passed last year, and he lived down in North Carolina. And so that leaves just my mother, who still lives in Prince George's County. She took it pretty hard. And this actually offered me an opportunity to be closer to her, because I was living in New York at the time, trying to figure out how I'm going to actually be there for her at this time. And all of a sudden now I was free to, you know.
Isn't that nice? I've got my two kids here, in fact, working for me in different capacities. And it's a great pleasure for you. I'm sure your mom is thrilled that you're here.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, when I moved home, the story, the narrative, so to speak, was that, you know, I get a chance to come home and work on the show and be closer to my mom. The reality is that she's at my place 3 times a week, invited or not. She has food I didn't ask for.
You and Michael should talk after the show.
She's got keys in my place. Furniture is moved around and missing when I come home. It's a whole, like, I didn't actually think that whole thing through. But no, it has been great to be closer to her. And my sister is still in the area as well. My stepdad's still in the area. So that part of it has been
This
great.
Is a fairly cool. new thing. I mean... A lot of people have early morning shows, and what most of them stress is traffic, weather, and news. Mm-hmm. And what yours stresses is you and the lighter touch in the morning. How much pressure is that on you?
You know what? I think the idea is that a lot of the information you can get online,
right? So if you're going to try and entice people to watch, you got to be offering them something else different, which is the delivery method. So the delivery method essentially is me. And stand-up wise, which was my background in stand-up, I would always try to be myself. I always tried to not to have a shtick and figure out, you know, whatever my feeling is, whatever my natural emotion is towards this thing will be enough. And that has actually carried me through from January until now, because I find things that are just absurd enough to where my honest reaction to them is something that people actually want to hear and want to pay attention to. I mean, when you have the red line is single tracking for a week and a half straight, let's not move on. Let's talk about
that's
that.
That's right.
Yeah, let's
but
figure out.
But there are fewer fires this year.
Yes.
There are fewer fires. Always fewer fires.
You know,
of fires, but fewer fires.
When you do an ad campaign called Back to Good, not Back to Great, not Back to Number One, just Back to Good, Back to Functional and Decent. That's the kind of stuff that really deserves its own attention. And when I would do stand-up, I'd travel around and I'd talk about this stuff in that particular town. I think D.C. has enough of these weird oddities that warrants every single day for an hour.
So I should tell people that I first became aware of Reese. Reese was introduced on ESPN as something called the Bank of America fan correspondent. Mm-hmm. And I said, what in God's name is that? Does that mean ESPN doesn't pay him? Does that mean Bank of America pays him? Does that mean that somebody else can edit the piece? And I didn't understand any of it. And I watched it as you went from city to city. I said, well, this is pretty good. Mm-hmm. But I've never had the ability to ask this question. Were you on were you payrolled by ESPN or Bank of America? How did that work?
If Bank of America was paying me, I'd be in Hawaii right now. I'd be in a much better shape if Bank of America was paying me. No, the idea was that Rob King actually brought me in to be a contributor to SportsCenter. And as soon as I come in, they say, okay, now what do you want to do? And I say, okay, well, let me think of some things. And that was one of the things I always wanted to do, was kind of these kind of fan correspondent pieces. Like if you
And they would last 3 and 4 minutes.
Yeah, they were long.
They were lengthy pieces.
If you could give a fan the ability to do, you know, what would he do? And I also wanted to be around fans. I find fans to be the most insane and hilarious part of sports. And so I wanted to be around these knuckleheads, right? So that's how the idea of the fan correspondent came about. It just got sponsored by Bank of America.
Oh, okay.
So they slapped their name on it, and then, you know, that.
Because for me, when they introduced you that way, there was a certain distance that I wasn't crazy about. You know, I said, is he ours? Is he theirs? How does it work? But what really put me over the top was you did the Eastern Motors thing. Your job's your credit, Addies. You did that. I didn't know you were from D.C.
Yeah.
And I watched this, and I said, my God, this is so. That was great. That made me so happy, the Eastern Motors.
Yeah, thing. I grew up with Eastern Motors and Science and Kirk and all that other stuff we love on there. But like I said, Eastern Motors is something I would put that I would go to on the internet. It's a rabbit hole I go down on the internet from time to time when I want to be in a good mood, and I go watch, you know, all the old the Clint. First of all, Clint Portis has like half of them that were ever made, or Clint.
That was
Portis.
The heyday.
And then you have the Juwan Howard, and there's so many of those Eastern Motors commercials. And to me, you know, some things you grow up with, you assume everybody knows about. So the fact that people who grew up in, you know, Arizona aren't aware of it's tragic.
They need to be
they
aware,
need to be aware of it. They need to be aware of it. And so I think it came about, you know, we were searching for ideas or what we could possibly do. And I happened to maybe bring that up. And people didn't know what the Eastern Motors, they had no idea about it. And that's just criminal. That can't continue. So it needed to be brought to the masses. And, you know, Eastern Motors folks were great about it. And they gave me full access. You know what's funny, actually? So we were trying to get access to some Redskins to be in the Eastern Motors commercial, and we were reaching out through the ESPN channels, through the SportsCenter channels, and we're having trouble getting anybody. So we said, screw it, we don't need it, we'll just go in. So we're in there hanging out with the Eastern Motors commercials, and Joel, who's one of their VPs, he goes, hey, so you guys, do you want anybody to be in this? And I go, yeah, you guys. You're like, yeah, you want Josh Norman? Like, I just talked to him.
You knocked on the door.
He literally just calls Josh Norman, like, hey, yeah, swing by in 30 minutes. But right. I'm like, oh, okay. So we couldn't get him, but Eastern Motors has the hookup.
Well,
okay.
You weren't giving him a ride.
That's so I just thought it was one. Now, you went to St. Albans?
Yep, that's right.
And you went where to college?
I'm a St. Albans Bulldog, the hard right over the easy wrong. That's right. What we say.
Right.
And I went to Columbia University in New York City. That's how I got into stand-up because, you know, when you're in New York City and you have hours to kill before it's acceptable to go party, you find ways to fill that time. And so I used to just go to open mics in New York City.
So you and coming back here to do this particular show, the ad campaign has you in a lot of different locales in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And I would imagine that this is very exciting. This is an exciting show.
It is really. I was unprepared for how people would react to the show, positively and negatively. I tried to prepare myself for people that would be upset about it, but you never know until, you know, you get people that have been watching Channel 9 News for 25 years and now I'm on and I've ruined their morning. But then you have the flip side. There's been people that have said, you know, I haven't watched news in forever and this gives me something different, or I watch it with my daughter, or I watch it with my mother and stuff like that. And I'm like, I've never felt that way about a news show in my whole life. So that part of it has been, you know, feeling like I'm actually representing people from this area well is something that makes me feel good. I would occasionally have it whenever I would do Redskins monologues talking about just how and how much pain we were in, you know, on sports. And occasionally I'd have that feeling, but this has been something completely different, completely new.
I'm fascinated, and I alluded to this earlier with the Channel 4 party in here last night, that the way local stations are all over the caps.
Yeah.
All over the caps. You must be all over the caps.
Oh, too. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, it's a whole thing. I think everybody sees it as an opportunity. So like, oh, everybody's into the caps, so it's like a feeding frenzy. So I think everybody's having a cap off.
And the thing about the hockey playoff, or the basketball playoff, for that matter, is there's plenty of time to jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you can't decide at the NFC Championship, oh, this team's maybe for real, let's get on it. It's like there's such a buildup. Even these things at the stadium, I'm sure tomorrow night's going to be way bigger than Monday, which was bigger even than Saturday, even though none of them have been, you know, Monday and Thursday, of course, weeknights. You wouldn't think would touch a Saturday.
I think they're going to win. I don't want it to go seven.
I no. Yeah.
Just, I
six
don't,
equals
I,
seven.
I don't even want six. Yeah, I want
six,
five.
Six equals seven.
I want five.
Yeah, I think it, yeah. Let's, yeah.
I know that everybody will say, well, we're different than the other teams, but if it goes six.
We just don't even want to open that part of our brain thoughts,
right.
You know?
So you said before that you did something today on Miss America.
Mm-hmm.
Miss America has eliminated the bathing suit competition, which is one thing. But it has gone much further than eliminating the bathing suit competition. It is saying this is not a beauty contest. This is not a beauty contest anymore. And we're not going to evaluate winners on how they look. I don't know what they're going to evaluate them on bake sales or anything else. My feeling is, what about, and maybe you address this, and I don't know, I'm going blind on this. In order to get to the Miss America pageant, you have to win the state level.
Mm-hmm.
They got 50 different state levels and the district. They got 51. Does that mean that on the state level, what are we going to do? Are we just taking somebody randomly off the street? What did you talk about with this? Because I'm sure as a kid, you watched this.
Yeah, so what we talked about was I stated that in conjunction with some of the things that they have happening online. So they have this whole thing about Toblerone tunnels. Do you know about that?
No, that's candy, isn't it, Toblerone?
It is candy. But there is
this whole trend
online about Toblerone tunnels, which is... it's the space between a woman's upper thighs. It's supposed to be a triangle to look like a Toblerone. Yeah. So they have this trend called Toblerone tunnels. And that's, you know, that's this whole thing.
I always know that
online.
Everything that happens, everything I grew up with, and every word that was okay with me, if you say that word now, somebody under 30 looks at you like you've said the worst thing in the history of the world.
Yeah.
And you go, I had no idea.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yep. So I saved you.
Okay.
I saved you from being the next guy. So I connected the two, and I talked about how when you have these kinds of trends and stuff going on online,
because, I stay away from line.
You know, that's not the kind of thing that everybody is going to be able to achieve, and it's possible that people are going to resort to very unhealthy, you know, methods to try to achieve it, and it, you know, it does stuff to people's self-esteem and self-image and all that kind of stuff. All of that is helped by what the Miss America thing is doing, right? By saying, okay, this isn't about a beauty contest. We're gonna actually pay attention to other aspects of beauty.
Well, they're going to pay attention to the interview in which everyone always says, I'd like to achieve world peace.
Well,
in
no.
The Iraq.
In the Iraq. Yeah.
But hopefully we stop getting the Iraq and people actually pay attention
right.
to the interview.
Because
but
it matters.
The Iraq is one of the greatest interviews of all time.
It is true.
But
for comedians,
but to Reese's point, if you weight more heavily that part of the competition,
right.
it presumably.
I'll be honest. I didn't love what Miss Nebraska, who she just won Miss USA. I think the last one
so.
They did. I ain't love. She wasn't. No, we need to do better with the interview. Let's do better.
Yeah.
Tony, we talk for a living. We have to advocate for people to be able to
be
communicate.
Smart. Be smart.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the Iraq.
No, I'm not so much.
No, be
and
smart.
Such.
It was just the great. Well, she was Miss South Carolina.
South Carolina.
She was
Miss
South Carolina. Yes. You never lived that town.
My mother's from South Carolina. She still thinks about it.
Just that was so fabulous. All right. I really don't want to depress anybody. I really need personally to say that this is for me a very significant day. It is the 50th anniversary of the assassination of Bobby Kennedy, which was something I went out the next night in New York City. I stood online to get into St. Patrick's Cathedral. I stood out there for hours and hours and hours to just pass the casket. It was a few days later, actually. In my life, at my age, I would not say that anything was more important than the shooting of John Kennedy. But for me personally, because I was older at this point and I had a better sense of Bobby Kennedy, I adored Bobby Kennedy. You know, would have voted for Bobby Kennedy for anything given the opportunity to do so. So there are a group of very, very aging people now for whom this is a very strong and painful memory. And I just wanted to acknowledge that this was so much. The Washington Post has done so much with looking back 50 years in 1968 as a very critical year. I mean, you know, everything's a critical year. You know what I mean? But a bunch of stuff happened in 1968.
Has some bona fides.
Yeah, they've got a lot of things. So I just want to acknowledge that, and we will stop here, and we'll come back. We'll do a jingle, and we'll do some email. I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
James.
This guy is so old, yeah, he's haunted and he's bald. He's cranky as hell, Dr. Hoffwop he's called. And he only comes if the parking is free. His best friends are soaks who like they drink in the car. He gets up before dawn and does his show from a bar. He'll take summers off cause he's a big TV star. Oh no, and he thinks he's so witty.
Awesome.
Joe Arrow, lyrics and vocal. Fantastic.
That's Laid by James.
Yes. Before we get into the mailbag, I want to say thanks to Abby Lowell, the smartest man in Washington, for coming on. I want to thank our sponsors, Quip. That was new for me. Casper Mattresses, Omaha Steaks. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. I'm thrilled that Reese Waters showed up, and you have a gig that you can tell us about.
That's right. I'm starting my own show at the DC Comedy Loft, which is the new name for the Beer Baron, which was the new name for the Brickskeller. You know that rotating place that always has a new name? Yeah, that one. Over on Northwest, June 28th, we're starting a show at 7:30 called Backpage. And yes, it is supposed to reference that back page. It's all the stories that are unfit to print. So it's all these, you know, we have another news segment we do on Get Up DC, and this is like a collection of those kinds of stories, in addition to stand-up and special guests. So that started June 28th at the Beer Baron.
Awesome.
Wonderful.
And
good
I
luck.
Also only come if the parking is free, too. I appreciated that part.
And you
like,
mentioned Casper
more than anything else.
In your thanks and read. We should mention Reese endorsed Casper off-air to us.
Yes,
Reese
yes likes it very much.
Sleeper.
Bought it himself.
It is.
Now he wouldn't have
it.
To buy it. Now they would send it to him for
no,
free.
No, I would hope so. But I would be careful. Do not have anybody sleep on a Casper unless you're serious.
Yeah, because they're going to stay.
Never leave.
They're going to stay. From Andrew Vogel in Spokane, Washington, the always dangerous three lead in the final You're welcome, Sands, is simply the prelude to the greatest choking dog performance yet. Can't wait to see what this show produces after they blow a two-goal lead in the third period of Game 7. Oh, ye of little faith. Doc Bradley, who says, "Go Knights, go. You have made me do something I never thought I would. I've lived in Vegas since 2006. I've never really liked it. I don't like the desert. I don't like the heat, and I miss weather. For years, I've derided Vegas for its lack of culture, the transitory nature of the people, and the false hope of gamblers, which pervades the city. I'm a religious listener to your show, and I have been since 1998. I'm usually in lockstep with the opinions given on the show, and have even become a National and Wizards fan. I was born in Dallas, so the Washington Football Club is never going to happen for me. Till the Stanley Cup final, I was a Cavs fan, and depending on the outcome, will be again. However, listening to your show this week and some of the derogatory, even if mild, comments made not just against the Golden Knights, but Vegas as a whole has made me defensive. I find myself wanting to loudly and vociferously defend Vegas. You've made me a local and given me pride in Las Vegas. I can't stand Vegas and dream about escaping it, but now you have made me realize it is my home, and I am mildly proud of it. I will never forgive you for this." A very thoughtful and wonderful email. But if you're there, you know, love the one you're with. You know what I'm saying? You should do that. Joe Farrell in Olney, Maryland. "So Max Scherzer and Ryan Zimmerman were the fans of the game for Game 4. If the series comes back to D.C., obviously the next fan of the game has to be Mr. Game 6 himself, John Wall."
Has to be.
Mr. Game 6. Dennis Dobbs, Cleveland, Ohio. "Was Sanzi tearing up yesterday as he described the Capitals' recent win? Please have Sanzi on again so we can hear him weep with tears of joy when the Caps finish off the dreaded Knights. Grown men crying over hockey. That is a sports podcast." Matt Little in Pearl, Mississippi. "Which is the real Wilbon? The one Tony describes as being 4 hours late to PTI show prep, or the one that talks with great specificity regarding the scheduling of air travel and the punctuality required on the part of the passenger?" Both. Wilbon is everything to all people.
It's a paradox.
It's Wilbon. Mayor McCheese. Jeff in Burlington, Ontario. "The guy that ate all of those oysters should meet Christine Brennan's lawyer." That's a funny and inside reference. Neil in Rockville. "As the end seems near, do you think that in the back of Ted Leonsis' mind, he's channeling his inner Michael Corleone on behalf of his godfather, Abe Poland, thinking, 'You have to answer for Yager, McPhee'?" I like that. Matt Baer in Charlotte. "What is a copay? The question of a legitimate one percenter. That's the money the rest of us throw down on the waiting room floor as we enter like Sonny Corleone." Yeah, I don't know what copay is. Yeah,
you probably don't need to.
Wilbon and I, that's our next show, The One Percenters.
Yes.
In which we complain about, you know, golf club management and stuff.
Caviar
like
is terrible.
Yeah, what are we doing with this? Bruce Gouldy, PhD, Broadlands, Virginia. "With Barry Trotz being unsigned after the current season, if the Caps win the Stanley Cup, am I the only person who sees Kirk Cousins redo?" Yeah, it's not. You are. He's not going to get that kind of money. He's not going to stand out there and have nine teams bid. It doesn't work that way. Philip Jennings in Moscow, Russia. Philip Jennings. Oh, I get it. Comrade Kornheiser, "Hey, great finding you on the podcast. I used to live in the D.C. area back in the 80s when I ran a travel agency.
Yeah.
Always enjoyed reading your columns. Actually saw you at a bar once. You were watching a fight."
Oh,
"But I was working. I could not stop by to say hi. Company rules about revealing myself, but I digress. Again, great podcast. Please give a shout-out to my kids, Paige and Henry, who I think may still be in D.C. If you're out on your bike time, everyone, as always, do wear white.
You got to harvest your nuts right now, hey, man.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Dès mon arrivée, une vision magnifique qui m'a ensorcelé. Elle m'a dit qu'elle s'appelait Pénélope et qu'elle aimait danser. Devant les sourires des gens, nous avons procédé. À la fin de la soirée, elle m'invite à prendre café. Je n'ai aucune difficulté à deviner ses pensées. J'étais au nirvana lorsqu'on s'est embrassé. Mais les bras m'ont tombé par terre quand je l'ai vu en déshabillé. Oh non, qu'est-ce que je faisais là? Oh non, je ne m'attendais pas à ça. Ce sourire, ce soupir, surprise, Pénélope s'appelait Roger.
était complètement déboussolé et plus du tout certain de mon identité. Une douche et du rince-bouche n'ont pu me purifier de cette sensation amère de m'être fait berner. Oh non, qu'est-ce que je faisais là? Pénélope s'appelait Roger. Tout ce temps-là, je croyais seulement que j'étais pas une vraie rouquine. Elle m'a dit, si tu voulais payer, je pourrais devenir une vraie poupée. Un peu affolée, j'ai rétorqué, non merci, je préfère y penser. Ce soupir, ce sourire, surprise, Pénélope s'appelait Roger. Roger.
The song's called Forget the Flowers.
Forget the flowers.
Forget the flowers. You can forget the flowers. Forget the flowers. Forget the flowers.
Thank you, guys. That's Cody, that's Dave, that's Michael, that's Bert, I'm Chris. We'll see you soon.